Welcome back, everyone, for another edition of How About Them Chiefs.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks again for joining How About Them Chiefs. I'm your host, Skylar Smith, and with my co-host, Stuart Smith, we're in his man cave. And it's been 2 weeks, a little bit too long for this recap, but being sick and everything else. But we're going to go ahead on this episode, break down Super Bowl 54, talk about the Chiefs winning. It's still surreal to me that the fact that they won. I mean, after all the years I've been a Chief fan, watching Marty Ball days where we choke in the playoffs, I honestly did not realize we won the game, like, after the end of the game. I have to watch it, like, three or four times. Did you feel the way, same way, Stu?
Yeah, I keep on pinching myself that we won. I mean, I don't even know how many times I've Googled Chiefs since they've won the game. I've already spent over $500 on shirts, sweatshirts, beanies, cups, mugs, toe hitches. It is so exciting.
It's still surreal to me that they won the game. But we'll talk about the Super Bowl. We'll break it down. We'll also talk about the halftime show. We'll give our grade and takes that we thought about it. We'll talk about the comeback for the Chiefs. We'll also talk about the stats of the week that I have, and then we'll have a debate over the MVP for the Super Bowl. I know a lot of people didn't think Mahomes deserved it, but that's hard to believe. But, I mean, it's just the way it goes, I guess. You know, low QBR rating, but I still think we'll debate over that, who should have been the MVP. And also talk about the post-game celebration, talk about our commercial favorites that we had, and also, of course, the parade celebration in Kansas City. So, without further ado, let's just dive into the game, but I mean, doesn't it just sound great that Chiefs are world champions? I mean, after a 50-year drought, I mean, bringing back the Lombardi Trophy to the city of Kansas City. I mean, I'm so happy for Andy Reid. Big Red finally winning the big one. I mean, I was so sick of the critics saying he can't win the big one, that he'll choke. And then also Colin Cowherd saying that Mahomes can't win the big games. So, like, I don't know how he gets, like, these stats. I don't know if you ever watch him and Nick Wright go about it back and forth on Colin Cowherd, but it cracks me up.
So with Colin Cowherd, he predicted that the Clemson were going to win the national championship. He was wrong. He predicted that the Chiefs were going to lose. He predicted the 49ers were going to win, and he was wrong on that. So, you know, it's always interesting to see, you know, people's takes, because we're not biased by any means.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I mean, the Chiefs are I think they're a really great team. You know,
also, overall, I'll say this. When it was all said and done, the Chiefs stole that championship this year because there were so many things that fell their way. Mahomes' dislocated kneecap somehow pops back in place and is able to play. We somehow won a game with our backup against the Vikings and almost beat the Packers. And then you fast forward, Fitzmagic beats the Patriots to get us to get the 2 seed. And then just like the path of how it happened too, like we get Suggs, like what? Like you can't even draw this up. And then of course, to make things even more interesting, we come back from like 24 points against the Texans. We come back against the Titans. The Patriots don't even make it to the AFC championship game. And then we're in the Super Bowl, and then obviously we win it. But I just feel like it was like we didn't even – like when the offense was clicking and going, you can't stop them. We all saw that, witnessed that. But can you imagine when all three areas of the team is like on all cylinders moving forward? Like I still think we are our best football is ahead of us, and I still think that like we just cheaply somehow won the Super Bowl. And it, a lot – I think some of it's luck and skill and all that and coaching – but I still think the best football's ahead of us if we retain everybody.
So that's my next question I was going to have with you is like, will you think this is going to be the start of a dynasty? I mean, honestly, like with the young talent that we have.
I think anytime you have a quarterback like Mahomes and you have good coaching with Andy Reid, because it's in stone now, he can win the big game, we will always have a shot. It's really going to be difficult for, you know, Veach to kind of figure out the contracts and everything with Jones, with Chris Jones coming up. It's obviously early to tell, but if we can retain and have the same type of defense that was playing lights out like that, I absolutely think if we can intact Spags and Reed and a couple more of those key pieces. Absolutely. Like I said, I still think the best defense, best team, best football is ahead of us.
Yeah, I think time will tell. Like, it depends on, like you said, the pieces we get. And even in the draft, you might have some young rookies again. Like, it seems like the Chiefs always have a good draft class, like last year. So we'll see what happens there with who we sign back and who we not decide to. And we'll go from there. But let's break down the game. Sorry, I know I'm going off on tangents here, but it's too excited about this. But I'm not sure if you noticed it, but just to start out, the whole thing was the coin toss exchange. How awkward it was. Like, do you – like, I know the Chiefs lost the coin toss and anything else, and how, you know, Richard Sherman says defer. And if people, you don't understand what that means, when you say defer, it's a stupid rule that's still in football where it gives the option of the team who lost the coin toss if they want to receive or kick. And if you say kick, that means you kick the first half and the second half. It's like, it's supposed to be like a trick question. And it was kind of funny to see Richard Sherman say, you know, defer. And that gave the option for the Chiefs to receive or to kick, whatever they wanted to do. And the Whitehead referee, which I thought was really funny, he just looks over at Dustin Colbert. He's like, what do you want to do? It was like a weird exchange. And Dustin Colbert, like, I look at his face, I didn't know what to do. And it was like, yeah, we want the ball. Like, it was like an awkward exchange. And the Whitehead, I really couldn't understand what he said and had to ask like 3 or 4 times. It was just, I don't know. Did you catch that? It was awkwardness or?
Well, for me, I think that would be the most anxiety. I would be more nervous about a flip toss with that, with A, being the referee would be so stressful because they've butchered that before, but also being Colquitt trying to make a decision, I would not want that job. So like, I would be like, hey, can someone else please speak up? Cause I would mess it up. So I don't judge. But with that said, that it's crazy. They play 17 games a year and they can't figure it out. Like,
oh, it just made me laugh because even the Whitehead referee, I could tell he was really nervous because he even like stuttered and said, oh, 49ers are going to receive. I mean, Chiefs received the ball. So obviously nerves was something going on with all of them. And how many people were at that coin toss? Like, I don't know if you noticed that too, like the giant crowd. It was like everyone looking at the president or something. Like, there's so many people out there. But anyway, the start of the game, I mean, looked like the Chiefs were a little nervous going out because they went 3 and out on their opening possession, which it's kind of funny to say this, but they went 3 and out on every postseason game. So it wasn't something new, I guess you'd say, for this postseason. But I thought they looked a little amped going 3 and out. Were you thinking the same thing?
I was so nervous. They could have went down and scored. I still would have had anxiety and was stressed out about it. I will say, though, like, you could tell right away that this defense – I mean, we all knew it was early, right? But, like – we all were saying, like, they got to start fast. They got to start fast. And, right, of course, for the fourth game in a row, they're getting real. Right. It's like we go 3 and out. But I did think that – and I just remember how quick the 49ers looked off the ball, which was, you know, scary as well. I figured I wasn't stressed or concerned after the first, you know, drive. Of course, would I want them to go down and score? Absolutely. But – yeah, it's pretty Chief history to go 3 and out the first drive.
So we had to punt the ball, obviously. So we ended up punting the ball, and the 49ers took their opening possession, and they took it down the field and got a field goal. I mean, Debo Samuel, their wide receiver, I mean, that guy's a beast. I thought he's going to be a young talent, a handful going forward in his career. And he took a long rushing play around the corner and almost scored if it wasn't for Tyrann Mathieu that made a game-saving tackle. I mean, it might have been the difference of the game, knowing now how close it was. But the Chiefs' defense, it was nice to see that they hold them at least for a field goal, because we knew, like, in this game that we're going to have a shootout, I thought, for this game to beat the 49ers because how effective they are running the ball and how they like to control the clock. And so I was happy to see that. Were you happy at least to see that they only got 3 points in the first possession?
Yeah, I think it was so crucial to get that stop because they just looked – when they run those outside read runs and they have the stuff that's going on the edge, like they have a really good scheme. It's pretty simple, but they have a lot of flashy things that they did. But it was nice to see because the defense has had such an attitude this year. It was nice to see them, you know, stop them at that point because they did have some pretty big plays in the beginning of that drive.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of it is a good play calling from Kyle Shanahan and exposing the Chiefs defense because he had them all over the place, inside, outside, deep, you know, short, all different plays. But the Chiefs would answer, though, on their next drive, which I was surprised. It was a 15-play, 75-yard drive, which is not like the Chiefs. The Chiefs usually score quick and fast.
Right.
But it seemed like it was something that the Chiefs were going to have to do, because with this team, the 49ers, they had it looked like they were going to win every inch or every yard to get anywhere. And it just seemed like they were constantly fighting to get anywhere on this drive. And one thing I love, though, is that it was a fourth down play. It was fourth and goal and short, and Andy Reid decides to go for it, which I thought was great. But then seeing this crazy spinning formation that hasn't been seen in so long, and you could totally see that the 49ers defense had no idea what was going on, and then a direct snap to Damian Williams, and he takes around the corner, gets the first down, but then he almost scores, and he gets shut down the line. I mean, what did you like? Did you like that call?
I loved how aggressive Andy was in the beginning of the game. I think we're the least offense in the NFL to go for fourth down this entire season, but he went for fourth down, I think, three times in that game. It was really cool about it. Or it's stressful, though, was I felt like every single play, like it was like a fight to get a yard. It was like, and they were hitting Mahomes. He never even had a rushing attempt or like a QB attempt since the game he dislocated his kneecap, but I think he had like eight that game.
Oh, yeah.
So like you could really tell like we were clawing our way. But I mean, when you have three people do a shift motion like that, which I thought for some reason would be a flag because I don't know if you could – it worked out. But I guess that play was an old Rose Bowl play from like the 60s or 70s Bannerman was talking about. And I guess they haven't even done that play – the entire year, and like it's something they've been practicing, and they just,
I guess what Travis Kelce was saying about that play is that Sammy Watkins always kept on messing up, I guess, in the spinning around the formation. But I guess Eric Bieniemy said, I think it was the 40s, actually, the Rose Bowl in the 40s. Yeah. Michigan versus USC in Rose Bowl. So it was pretty cool they found that play. I mean, the drive was capped off with Mahomes running an option play to the right. He did take a big hit in the end zone, like you were saying. He's hitting a lot. So at that point, the Chiefs were leading 7-3. The 49ers would answer, though, because they're on their next – actually, I mean, they would not answer. I'm sorry. The 49ers on their next possession could not get anything going. The Chiefs defense finally applied pressure on Jimmy G. And on a third down, Chris Jones created havoc with Mike Pennell and hitting him pretty hard in the chest, which made Jimmy G throw an ill-advised pass, which is where Breshad Breeland picked it off. And it was in great field position now. I mean, I was going excited, you know, because like, oh my God, we're going to turn the game around now. Here we go. What were you feeling at that point?
I was nervous because I thought it was Breeland who picked it, right?
Yeah.
I thought he stepped out of bounds.
That's what it looked like at first, too.
But he fortunately didn't. But yeah, I think when I first saw it, I was like, all right, wow, we're going to let's take advantage of this. And let's take advantage of this. Let's get this rolling. Because it was just – because that's what we were saying the whole time. If we can make Jimmy G throw the football, we're going to beat them. Like we need to force them to do that, because their running game is too – it just cuts everyone. It's a legit running game where they – look what they did against the Packers. I think they had like eight passing attempts.
Oh, yeah.
So like anytime we could force him to have the football in the hands was great. But yeah, that pick was huge. And they rocked him that
pick. Oh, yeah. They hit him pretty good. The one thing I was kind of upset about was the Chiefs couldn't answer with the turnover, like with the touchdown. But I mean, at least they got a field goal. So at this point, it was 10-3. I mean, for this game, I thought like it would have been a shootout, but like the Chiefs were controlling the clock on that first drive. It took 15 plays.
Yeah.
So it's totally opposite of what I thought about this game. So after it was 10-3, the 49ers would answer this time with a touchdown and to even things up at 10-10. And the Chiefs couldn't get into anything in a rhythm, it seemed like, this first half. And they end up having to punt the ball back to the 49ers with less than 2 minutes and to close the half, which is where the controversial time management from Kyle Shanahan comes into play. Because at this point, the Chiefs, they're punting the ball back to the 49ers. It was like just over 2 minutes. And Kyle Shanahan, instead of calling a timeout after they created a third, you know, make the Chiefs have to punt, he decides not to, you know, call timeout. So the clock runs off in another 30 seconds or 40 seconds. And you can see Lynch up in the GM in the box calling for signaling for a timeout, but they elected not to, which I was kind of surprised. Were you surprised that Kyle Shanahan did not call a timeout at that point?
I was so excited because I just remember the past two Super Bowls, when the Eagles beat the Patriots, they were so aggressive, right? They were running like option plays and throwing it to the quarterback. Like they were doing – I just feel like when you get to these games, you can't play conservative, especially if you're playing against a high-powered offense. So, like, the fact that they were doing that, I was like, I'll take that. Like, that was – for me, that was, like, I feel good about it. But, I mean, of course that they do that and they run two or three plays. We call a timeout and then they throw like a 40-yard pass.
See, that's the thing I was going to say. Like, because like, I could see why Kyle Shanahan at a point in that game didn't want – I think he thought, you know
– He didn't trust Jimmy.
I don't think he did because it's 10-10 at that point. You have over 2 minutes left. You just did a two-minute drive to score. And I think he was afraid to go three and out or give the ball away because he knew he was going to have to pass the ball.
Right.
And thinking that he's going to give the ball back to the Chiefs and he didn't want to give the ball back to Mahomes to score or anything before the half. And I think that's why he decided not to because when he ran the first two plays, it was a running play and another running play. So like 40 seconds. I'm like, okay, it's third down and forever. He's probably going to run it again and they're just going to knee it. But then he surprisingly runs a play action fake and this is when he throws a deep pass to Kittle, which – Everyone talks about the 49ers that it's not a pass interference call, but when you clearly see Kittle extend his arm,
yeah,
it's an offensive pass interference. And it's kind of tough because the NFL, the NFL has not been consistent on calling what pass interference is or not. Because if you watch the Saints and Vikings game, Kyle Rudolph kind of does the same thing, but it wasn't as obvious as Kittle's.
Yeah.
So I think – Because when that happened, when he pushed off Dan Sorensen, Dirty Dan, Kittle, honestly, he had enough room to catch the ball. That's what that was kind of surprising that he decided to still push off because he had him beat. But I don't know why he decided to push him off. But anyways, the football gods and the Chiefs are good on that side because they end up having to call a pass interference. And then there's only 30, 40 seconds left, I think, left after that. So you can't even do anything except you can kick a field goal if it was not pass interference, they would have the ball within a 10-yard line, I think it was, and they had to kick a field goal because they only have like 25 seconds or whatever it was. So I understand why Kyle Shanahan didn't do it, but at the same time, like you can look at Andy Reid, you know, like he's the other time manager everyone makes fun of, and it was third down and he thought, oh, okay, don't call a timeout, just let it go. But he called timeout because he thought he can get the ball back, and here goes Kittle going deep.
Two things. Andy Reid went for it on fourth down twice the first half. Like, he was extremely aggressive. He was running as quarterback who has had injuries all year long. So, like, Andy Reid was throwing out everything he possibly can, him and Eric Bieniemy, for in terms of being aggressive. Spags, one of the most aggressive play callers defensively. Like, we were the polar opposite of what they were doing. But I will say that ball he threw was the best ball he threw all night.
Yeah.
And I was just, for me, Shanahan does not have confidence in Jimmy because he just threw an interception. And I don't care what he says. As soon as Kittle caught that ball, he's probably thinking, damn it, I wish I did not. I wish I called this timeout. Because that is a huge opportunity that they could have scored going into that halftime.
Did you agree with those pass interference then? I mean, trying not to be a Chief fan here. But do you think it was a pass interference? Like, I think it clearly shoved them off.
You could clearly see there was an extension of his hand. However, if you look at the context of the entire game, they let him play the entire game.
Right.
There wasn't a lot of pass interference. I mean, if it was blatantly, yeah, you saw it. But there wasn't any ticky-tack stuff. I mean –
Chiefs did get away with a few holes.
I'll go back to what the analyst said. I don't know his name, but Trey was like, I don't know what to say. Let me just ask you. And he was like, "That is a guaranteed pass interference. That's a good call." But,
so do you think if Kyle Shanahan challenged it? Actually, it was under 2 minutes, so he couldn't challenge it, right?
I don't think you can. I don't think it was significant enough
to even overturn.
If you look at their history of how they overturn and overturn pass interference, it's got to be really clear. So of course I'll take it.
So at that point, 49ers end up having to punt. Actually, they just needed, I think, actually, at the end of the half. So it's 10-10. Definitely not what I expected for this game. I thought there'd be a lot higher scoring, to be honest, because I thought the Chiefs were going to have to throw the ball over the yard and 49ers were going to be able to move the ball more. But it was one of those defensive-minded games and just grind the clock of running the ball. So it was 10-10, and here we go into our halftime show. So What did you think about the halftime show, Stu?
I was stressed out during the halftime show. All I do remember is Jennifer Lopez on a pole for a long time. I'm not here to talk crap about her. Like, I hope I look like that when I'm 50 years old. I'm not judging. I thought overall it was pretty good. But I had anxiety the entire game. I couldn't even I don't even know what they were singing. I have no idea.
I didn't even watch the halftime show. I was so stressed out.
The whole game I was – because, I mean, the first half was okay because obviously we were tied. But that third quarter
So that's – we'll go into that the second half. So the second half, the 49ers, because they deferred and we elected to receive the ball in the first half, they were going to receive the ball to open up the second half. And they open up with a field goal on their opening drive. Then the nightmare third quarter started for the Chiefs.
It's not even the nightmare third quarter. It was the second half, except for 7 minutes of the game. It was like we'll get into it, but it was just was a brutal.
Oh, it was not a third quarter that the Chiefs fans wanted to see. That's for sure. I mean, on their opening possession. To open the half, Mahomes throws an interception at midfield. And it wasn't like a very good it wasn't a good pass it seemed like Mahomes never got a rhythm in this game. I think that had a lot to do with it because the halftime show is long. I'm not trying to give him excuses though, but it seemed like he never was in a rhythm. He never got comfortable because the 49ers defense was all over.
I think that team is legit.
I
think like if you look at those pass rushers, they were getting to him. He was never comfortable. Towards the end of the game, when he had that 3rd-and-15 play, he had plenty of time. That was great. But no, I think like they just
had a great game plan.
They won the game from quarter one to quarter three and a half to four. They played a phenomenal football game, and I literally think that they just got tired. I think that's what it came down to. We can't handle these 4-4-3 guys, 4-2 guys. But I think overall, like that pass play, you could tell he was erratic. There's a lot of things going on. They're running zone, but they brought in 4 people that are going after him. So it was not a good pass for him, I would say. But
that linebacker made a great play, though. I mean, me being quarterback in the past, like if you see Tyreek Hill, he looks open, but I don't think he even saw the linebacker. I think it snuck up behind him. Yeah. I think he got confused on the coverage and thought he had someone open. That's because it was a pass that was straight to defender, which you don't see with Mahomes ever.
The 49ers have been doing that to everybody this year. Like they have 4 first rounders on their front defensive line, and they have a future Hall of Famer in Sherman, who's he's a head case and crazy, but at the end of the day, he's still really good.
Yeah. So the 49ers, after getting that interception off Mahomes, they answered off that turnover with a touchdown by Raheem Mozart from 1 yard out and increasing their lead now to. By 10, making it 20-10. So that's the thing I wanted to talk about. Raheem Mozart, like this guy came out of nowhere. He was on, I think, 6 or 7 teams, they were saying, practice squad. I mean, that guy runs so hard and he runs like it's his last carry.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a cool story. I thought he had a great season. He did okay in the Super Bowl because they didn't have much going on for him. But like, what do you think about his story?
I think the 49ers made a mistake. I don't think he touched the ball until like the second or third quarter.
Like they stopped doing the run.
I don't understand. How could you let a guy destroy, like single-handedly take over a game and running the football where your quarterback only touches the ball 8 times to throw it? And he didn't even like play. I remember his first carry was like towards the end of the first quarter. I'm like, all right, I'll thank you.
Kyle Shanahan was just trying to throw everything out at the Chiefs, and I think he psyched himself out a little bit too much. But at this point,
great story though.
The Chiefs are up. I mean, the 49ers are up 20-10. I mean, were you getting nervous at this point?
I didn't. I just felt like it was just one of those, like we're clawing and clawing and clawing away, and like we were still in it. But there was just that sense of like I was just watching that clock just tick, 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 and I'm thinking, all right, guys, we gotta do something here. So for me, it was the anxiety of being down by 10 points. The defense is just not giving up. Like literally, there was no big plays for the first half and that third quarter. I don't even think, besides the Wasp play, which we'll get to in 3rd-and-15, there was no big plays. There was not a lot of passes on the field. So like it was really slow kind of, you know, going through them. It was just. So yeah, answer your question. Absolutely, I was stressed out and nervous, but I didn't get really nervous until it was the fourth quarter and it was getting closer to it. But we all know the change.
So then I thought, you know, it can't get any worse. The Chiefs are down by 10. We're going to, on the next drive, do something, come back. And Mahomes, again, threw another interception to the Chiefs, or I mean for the Chiefs again, into the hands to the 49ers, and they had a really good field position. And at this point, the Chiefs are now trailing 20-10. There's 12 minutes left in the game, and the 49ers have the ball. And Mahomes just threw the ball, you know, threw the ball back to the 49ers. So 12 minutes left, and we're down by 10. I'm a little nervous, a little pissed off. What were you thinking?
I was like, a couple things, because I just felt like there was no big plays. So I was getting stressed out where I was pointing like, hey, like we, like usually in the games that are close, we have had a couple break. We could see a couple breakdowns of their defense, but they just were solid. Like they did not have. It almost was like we had like two or three drives, and that was because that really was it. Yes, I was really stressed out because my fear was like that running game just has not been. We haven't like
right.
It hasn't been stopped all year, and they get the ball back. All they have to do is chew the clock out. They're up by 10 points or 20, whatever.
And they're doing the game that they want to do.
Right.
The 49ers want to do. This is like the worst case scenario for the Chiefs. It's really the worst case scenario because all game long. We couldn't get in a rhythm, couldn't get anything going. So at this point, I really thought this is the worst game I've seen Mahomes play. And it actually, in fact, was his worst game as a pro at this point. He's thrown two interceptions. The team now is down by 10. He's never lost a game. Remember, he never lost a game let more than 7 points.
Yeah.
And so, and we've already seen him come back from 24 points down against the Texans. But the Texans defense was, what, almost dead last on pass, you know, pass?
Yeah.
Defense. The Titans, honestly, I think played their hearts out and played way over their expectations of what their roster has. And they ran out of gas when they were up by 10, and they couldn't stop the Chiefs defense when they got in a rhythm. So Mahomes never got in a rhythm. And that I thought there's no way our defense can let the 49ers keep going because we need a stop right now. Like there's no way we'll come back in this game.
Right.
And I don't know if you saw it. At this point, too, I remember they were showing on the camera, Tyrann Mathieu just unloading on the defense, going crazy, screaming, yelling at people. And I guess they had to have the defensive coordinator Spags had to pull him away from everybody. So it's not looking good for the Chiefs right now. Look, we're out of hand. We're getting out of character. And I don't know what it did, but I think it sparked the defense because the 49ers only ran five more plays and the Chiefs were getting the ball back. They forced them to punt, which was the first time we stopped them all game. Which is a good thing to see.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry.
So my favorite part about it, two things. The Chiefs, in order to win that football game, they had to have three stops in a row from the defense. They like it wasn't even like if you stop and if you look at if you break down all these football games, like statistically, like it's not a high probability that hey, you're gonna stop this team.
They had like a 95% probability they're gonna win the game.
And it was getting down to
at that point.
8 or 9 minutes or whatever it was. But the Chiefs defense, and Steve Young was talking after the game. I thought it was perfect. He's like, when the defense, when they needed their stops, they didn't have one stop. They didn't have two stops. They stopped them three times. Now, not all of that, in my opinion, was the defense being lights out. I think a lot of it had to do with Shanahan's play calling.
Yeah.
Because I can't believe he was.
Yeah, well, I mean.
I'll get into that, but I can't believe that we had three crucial stops like that with this powerful of an offense, and they were not running the ball.
I mean, at this point, the Chiefs offense, they had to get something going on their next possession. And being down by 10, you know, and a timeline on our side – they needed to get something going. And I thought it was really a funny thing to say on the podcast or the broadcast by, I think it was Troy Aikman or Joe Buck. I can't remember which one said it, but they said the Chiefs actually have the 49ers right where they want them because they're only down by 10. They've done this twice, come back, anything else. And I think Aikman kind of made a joke. Oh, I don't know about that. And then here comes the comeback.
No,
I mean,
no, no, this, I have it specifically recorded.
Do you remember what he said?
I know exactly where it is. And the craziest part about this is, I'll just do the whole story. Troy Aikman, he said, hey, talk to me when he has 30% of my Super Bowls. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember
okay.
that.
Okay, I'll get to that story in the end. So it was 3rd and 15. Actually, yeah, it was 2nd and 15. Mahomes throws the ball to Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill catches the ball. We're at the sidelines trying to get to the start. Because obviously he bobbled it or dropped it.
Yeah.
So anyways, then this is when the whole thing shifted. Troy Aikman goes, that is one of the easiest looks Mahomes has had all day long. Yeah. And he missed it.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's being really critical with Mahomes. And then he has the audacity to say, he is not playing a good game. He is not. And I swear to God, I remember saying this specifically. Troy Aikman, you better watch yourself. And no joke, he's like, he's like, he is not having a good game. He's not all together.
You can't win the big one.
And then all of a sudden, it was 3rd and 15.
Right.
We run the wasp play.
Right.
And then the whole switch just switched. In my opinion, that was the best part of the entire game, because now if you go on Twitter and you say, hey, talk me up 30, there's so many people like, hey, Troy, are we going to talk?
Yeah,
like, that was the moment when Troy Aikman said he is not having a good game, Joe. Like, this is just – it's just not working out for him, blah, blah, blah. And then the it just switched.
I mean, it's crazy because on that play with a 2nd and 15 and he throws that ball, and I'm like, oh, I think he caught it. I'm not sure if Tyreek caught it. And then they overturn it. I'm like, God damn it. It's 3rd and 15. But if you remember in the past, for some reason, Mahomes is like on fire when it's 3rd and long.
Right.
Because like, I think he has like the highest percent completion rate. And he has also like, so the wasp play, honestly, when he was rolling out and he was throwing it, I thought he just threw it up for grabs because of the ball. It seemed like it was up in the air forever. And I'm like, oh, my God, he just threw it up for grabs. And then you see the crazy route that Tyreek runs and catches the ball. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to do this. This is the comeback is coming right now. And I, you know, it was great to see they finally got something going. And that launched the ball, though, I really thought that it was going to be picked off because how long it was in the air. And 3 plays later, Mahomes, though, he finds Kelce for a 1-yard touchdown strike. And so now the score is 20-17, and the 49ers are still leading, and it's only 6 minutes left. So there's still a lot of time left, and I thought at this point, we're only down by 3 points. There's 6 minutes left. We just need another stop. And like you were saying, and Steve Young was saying, like when the defense needed to step up, they did. And that's one thing I've noticed this year, all year round, for the Chiefs' defense is maybe they haven't been the best statistically everything, but it seemed like when the game was on the line, they always would man up and somehow get a stop. And so when we really need it the most, the Chiefs did pull it off. The 49ers on their first play – well, this is where it actually gets kind of weird to me because, like, the play calling by Kyle Shanahan – I'm sort of back up a little bit. So
wait, I have to say one comment about the wasp play because I can talk about that forever. If you watch Tyreek Hill run his route, his arms are running like this. Like, it doesn't look like he's like a – I mean, he's an elite receiver, right? But if you just like stop and pause, like that play, it looked like it was from like a high school football game. Like it was like
backyard throw.
Football. Yeah. The offensive, like that play right there was like, and also that's labeled the best play in 2019. They on NFL Network, they say that's the best play of the year. if you really look at it, you have all those receivers running all these crazy routes. And that's where I really think, and you can watch the film of like Richard Sherman. Those guys were getting tired, and that was like the dagger.
Well, because the
offensive line held up that amazing front, and Mahomes was back there. He had a long time to throw. Throws it across his body like 55 yards. It was like that was like the play, and then all the momentum just went down. But you're right; it was a great execution in terms of Kelce getting across. The defense had a great stop.
But I mean, it's so the 49ers all game long or the very beginning of the game, they're controlling the clock, running all these sweeps and running the ball. And so, you know, 6 minutes left, I was like, okay, we're down by 3, and realistically, like, we're gonna need to stop them again. And all the 49ers need to do, they have 6 minutes left, is have a long drive, and the game's over. I mean, that's all they had to do. And I thought, okay, they're going to run, do play action if they have to, whatever. And so the very first play, the 49ers run a play. They get 5 yards on the first down. So I'm like, shit, that's not what we want.
That hole was massive, was huge.
And so now it's second and five, and I'm thinking, okay, they're going to run it again. But no, Kyle Shanahan decides to throw it, and it was a play. I don't think it was play action. He decided to throw it, and it gets knocked down by Chris Jones.
Which was the biggest play of the game to me at that point. Which brings me who I think is the deserving person of the MVP. If you watch the game again, he had 3 pass deflections.
Right.
And like they were all saying like Kettle, whatever his name was wide open on that play.
Right.
And so like it wasn't just like there was another one that like.
So a lot of luck involved, you'd say?
No, I think it's I think at the end of the in the future, when people look back on this team, they're going to say, how the hell did they have Chris Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, they had Fuller, they had Thornhill. I think they're going to sit back and look and then look at the offense because I think he also historically, if you look at statistically, in 2019, he was the number one player in the NFL, rated for in terms of like impact to a football game. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
So you have the best player in offense and you have the best player in defense. He stepped up huge. He had 3 pass deflections. And that's like not talent. That's just getting in front of somebody, sticking your huge hand up and blocking it.
So it's now 3rd and 5, and we all know they're going to have to do some type of pass. Like, because I thought, okay, if you don't have the balls to run on 2nd down 5, like, is he really going to run it right here? Because that means you're just going to eat the clock out and just try to run it again. And he passes it again, and this is when Spags drew up a perfect blitz because Jimmy G didn't have time to throw the ball, and Ben Neiman came up the middle and literally laid Jimmy out and hit him right underneath the chin, laying him out. And I remember watching it live thinking, oh, shit, did he just hit him helmet to helmet? And a lot of 49er fans went to argue and say it was a helmet to helmet hit, but he doesn't leave the crown of his helmet. He hits him right, perfect tackle right in his chin and forcing Jimmy G to throw it earlier than he wanted to. And so now it's 4th down and 5 and they have to punt the ball back to the Chiefs. There's less than 6 minutes left. Now the Chiefs have a chance to potentially tie the game or win the game. I mean, at this moment, I thought, we have it. There is no way we're losing this game. Did you feel that way?
It was as if like it was a story thing for me reading a book. I was like, this is like a perfect script. But my God, I hope it works out the way I want it to. I still think after that 3rd and 15 play, I thought, oh my God, we have a really good, decent shot just because I feel like the momentum was shifting. But I was a little bit like, we only have 6 minutes, but now we have a football. Like, he's already thrown 2 interceptions. Like, they're playing good defense. Like, but then I saw Richard Sherman and I saw how tired he was. And I was like, I think we have him on the ropes. Like, I think.
Yeah. And it's so then the Chiefs, then after they get in the punt, they quickly advance the ball to midfield. With after three quick pass plays. And then, speaking of Richard Sherman, the play of the game that I believe is your guy, Sammy Watkins, burn Richard Sherman with a 30-yard catch. And it set up the Chiefs on the 10-yard line for the 49ers. And to me, that was the play of the game where I knew and confident that we're going to win this game. I think the play of the game that changed the momentum is definitely the Wasp play, but I think the play of the game and the person who probably didn't get much love this year because of injuries and whatnot, because like you said, he didn't have a lot of catches and all the numbers, but Sammy had a phenomenal game and I wish to see him come back next year. I know everyone's talking about the cap, but he's, you know, might be a cap casualty and not be unsigned, but that catch put us in on the 10-yard line. And what were you thinking at this point?
I kept on screaming Sammy Watkins because I've been saying this all along. Whenever Sammy Watkins has over like 90 yards or 100 yards in a game, the Chiefs always win. It's because they have so many weapons. If you all know, thing the same Watkins, he's the 2nd highest paid receiver in the NFL. Do I think he's put together the historical and the stats for that? I don't. But when it mattered, he has stepped up significantly. And specifically in the Super Bowl, he had several catches that were huge. Oh, yeah. I remember there was one across the middle, which he had was a great catch, but absolutely, that play was gigantic. And he also, like I said, he almost had 100 yards receiving. You can't cover all these receivers. And you could argue that Sammy Watkins is the best overall wide receiver the Chiefs have, because I think he runs the best routes. I think he has the best hands. He has less drops. I think he has more knowledge on the field than, let's say, Tyreek Hill. I know he hasn't put up statistically, but I've been saying all along
Tyreek is just MVP. A freak, though. Tyreek's a freak, and Kelce is pretty much a freak of nature. So it's kind of hard to say. Just to think about that, you're like the third, maybe fourth option in Sammy Watkins.
And you're a fourth-round overall draft pick.
So, I mean, that's just something to think about there for the Chiefs.
Sammy Watkins, baby. You've been saying it all year.
I was surprised, though, that – Daryl Revis did not tweet out anything calling out Richard Sherman, because as you all know, he did pull, they had a little Twitter war going back and forth, and I don't think he really came up with anything on that, but I really think Sammy Watkins did come in clutch in the playoffs, and I hope it won't be his last game as a Chief. And then now the Chiefs, now on third down, they're finally had a couple plays and getting it going, but now they're facing a third down, and Mahomes throws a swing pass to Damian Williams for a touchdown. And it was close by the pylon, and when I first saw it, I literally thought he stepped out. I didn't think he scored. I thought he really stepped out. But when we saw the replay, his foot was out of bounds, and they go to commercial. And at that point, my heart sank, going, it's going to be fourth down and goal. What is Andy Reid going to do? Fourth down and goal, are we going to go for the tie, kick a field goal, or are you going to go for the win? At that moment, did you think that he stepped out? Because when you saw the replay, it looked like he stepped out.
I thought, seeing it live, he was in. But when I saw it for the replay, my first thought was, there's not enough evidence for them to overturn it. That was the thing I thought, that because there wasn't.
Another play that 49er fans complain about, because they're like, well – it doesn't look like the ball crossed the plane, but when you slowly slow it down, it doesn't matter. You step out. Yeah, I guess he did step out, but I'm saying it doesn't matter where you step out. It's where the ball is at. The ball, you clearly can see the shadow is crossing the plane. So he was in, and they kept the call, and they kept the – and at that point, Chiefs are up. I mean, to think about it, we were down – 10 points
10, 21, yeah.
With 12 minutes left in the game, and we threw a pass and we threw a ball away. So let's think about it again. We're down by 10 points, less than 12 minutes to play, and we just threw an interception with Mahomes.
We're down by 10 points. It was less than 8 minutes. It was less than, I think 9 minutes when we were down. I remember we had the ball, and I was like, we only have 8 minutes to come back. So
think back, in the third quarter, it was the worst game Mahomes has played. And we're down by 10 points. The 49ers had just picked off Mahomes. And now with under 2 minutes and 40 seconds left, the Chiefs are now leading in the Super Bowl. Initially, I thought we left too much time on the clock. And thinking, it's 2 minutes, 40 seconds left. Yeah, we're winning, but
– damn it, this is
how it always ends, like, for us. Because, like, we did in the AFC Championship game with Brady, with 2 minutes left, and he goes all the way down and breaks our hearts, So I'm thinking – Jimmy G can't do this. There's no way. And so I really thought we left too much time on the clock. It was great that we're winning, but were you feeling the same way?
I remember how excited I was, and then I looked at the clock, and I was like, oh.
And so now we just needed one more stop. The Chiefs just need one final stand to close out the game and to end this game and have the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. So now with 2 minutes and 40 seconds left, the 49ers have the ball, and they could potentially win the Super Bowl with Jimmy G behind them. And they knew at this moment, I know the 49ers, this is not the game they wanted to have, because now they're having to rely on Jimmy G on this last drive. And they didn't get anything really going. They made it up to midfield, and now they needed to convert on a third down. Jimmy G drops back to pass, and Emmanuel Sanders had a step on the Chiefs secondary. But thank God Jimmy G overthrew him, because he definitely had a step and he was wide open. But Jimmy G, I think, was still a little concussed and dazed from the Ben Neiman hit. My heart sank when I saw that throw, because I thought, that's a touchdown.
I was like, oh no.
And then when I see it overthrown, I'm jumping up and down going, this game's, we got it.
And it's is there any down. Pass interference?
There's no pass interference. There's no holding. Is there any flags?
And I think we had three cornerbacks on him too.
Yeah, he passed the defense. Because what we had, I think, going on, I think we had a blitz dialed up that they picked up. And they had cover zero. So there was nobody back there. And he just overshot him. I mean, that was basically the game right there. But then if you look at it this way, though, even if Jimmy G hit and connected Sanders, there's still a lot of clock on the time. And I feel like the way the Chiefs' momentum was going, I think we still would have won the game.
That is true. He would have been in the end zone, huh?
Yeah, because it would have been, because it was really quickly. It would have been less than 2 minutes, just a little less than 2 minutes if he converted that. So, and we had all our timeouts.
And he caught it in the end zone. He would have.
Oh, yeah, he would have caught it in the end zone. Or he had a step. He would have.
I'm glad it happened the way it did, though.
Yeah. So am I. And so now it's fourth down, the game on the line, and this was the ball game.
Okay,
if the Chiefs stopped them
on that play, it was a delay of game clearly, right. And they didn't call it on that fourth down.
Which actually was great because
thank God they didn't call it.
If they called that, they would have replayed the down. It'd been fourth down and 10, or fourth down and yeah, I think it'd been fourth down and 10. And for some reason, the clocks went double zero, and they didn't call the delay game. But one of the referees was saying at the end of the game was saying, it's usually hard to see the same time because you look at the clock, you're looking at the snap of the ball, and it's just that split second that you probably, you know, as you're looking back, oh, the ball's already snapped, and you're okay, and you look at the clock. So they were saying that that's an excuse that they were saying for some of the referees. But it seemed like it was longer than that.
Couldn't we decline it?
No. We could have – oh, no, because it would have to be a stop play. So now it's fourth down and 10, and who else ends the game but Frank Clark? He sacks Jimmy G, and now there's a minute and 25 left in the game. What were you thinking? The Chiefs are going to win the game, but we have a minute and 25. The 49ers, of course, have all their timeouts, so we still have to get one first down. At this moment, I thought the game's over. I stopped watching it, honestly. Like I thought it was over. And I think it's funny that how Frank Clark, I think it was three consecutive postseason games, he has a sack to end the game. He did it to Tannehill. He did it to Deshaun Watson. And now he did it against Jimmy G.
I've been saying all year, he steps up always in the biggest moments. Sometimes it's not healthy throughout the year, right? He had a weird injury at his neck or whatever. But absolutely.
I mean, can you believe it? The Chiefs, all they needed to do was get one first down.
Well, I lost my voice. I was screaming so much, my head was throbbing. So I think if the game went any farther or any longer, I don't know if I would have been able to make it.
And so, obviously, we're going to run the ball to get the clock out. And so, but Damian Williams didn't want to go down, and he took a ball on the left side. And I was calling him the X Factor, if you remember from last episode. I really thought he was the X Factor this game. He took the ball on the right to the left, up the sidelines for 38 yards to the house. And now the Chiefs are up 30-20, and the game's done. It's the nail in the coffin. It's over. There's no way the 49ers are going to make a comeback. And then end up, you know, getting even worse for Jimmy G's. He throws a pick to Kendall Fuller, and then it officially ended the game.
At that point, when Damian Williams scored, I spent the entire rest of the game on my phone trying to buy the shirt and hat because they went so fast last time.
Because the AFC Championship, when they won, I remember we were trying to order stuff and it was already sold out.
Oh, man, that was just...
and the game's over. And we're Super Bowl champs.
I couldn't believe it. I to this day, like I'm just saying, like I just feel like we just stole that Super Bowl. We stole the season, like... Because obviously last year when the way it happened, when D4 lineup on the side,
how do you feel about him though? You're one play of going to Super Bowl, and then now you're on the losing end of a Super Bowl.
I feel bad for D4 because I feel like he's a pretty quiet and humble dude, you know?
Yeah.
And Clark just kept on the lineup offside.
And then he jumps offside the Super Bowl, and then he jumps off. Yeah. I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I feel bad for him, but I think overall, I just, like I said before, I just feel like we stole that Super Bowl. I just feel like if it's just like it was so many things that fell in our way. On top of how great the team is and good the players are, I'm super happy for Andy Reid. But I still think there's a lot left in the tank for us.
So now
it's great.
It was a great game, great victory. Obviously, we're champions.
The Kansas City Chiefs are world champions, baby. You could never take that away from us.
Woo! And so I'd like to now go into the stats of the week that I had. The Chiefs were the only NFL team to ever come back from double digits in three straight postseason games. Just let that stick in the ear right now. It was a bumpy road. We got there. We got the win. But it didn't make it easy. And also, only two QBs now have won a Super Bowl and an MVP in their first three seasons. The first one was Kurt Warner and now Patrick Mahomes. So, also, another stat I have here is Andy Reid, it was his 222nd victory and his first Super Bowl ring. And also, the one thing I will debate about the MVP of the Super Bowl, but...
Wait, real quick. So he won his 220th game of his career on February 2nd, 2020.
Yeah, the 2222.
That's pretty crazy.
It's kind of crazy, kind of weird.
Nuts.
So, and then...
And it was orange Gatorade, by the way.
Yeah. Someone was joking, I was just saying it was Tang. Joking around, they threw it on him. But, Damian Williams also, that's what I wanted to say too, is Damian Williams was the first running back in Super Bowl history to rush for over 1,000 yards and having a rushing touchdown and also having a receiving touchdown. And the craziest stat I think about this is that the Chiefs scored 21 points in the fourth quarter with less than 9 minutes. 21 points to win the game. So you want to blame Kyle Shanahan, you want to blame his offensive calls, but – that defensive coordinator for the 49ers, I mean, he's no hair anyway, but he lost all his hair anyway. But, like, your defense gave up 21 points in less than 9 minutes, that quickly.
Do you remember the Titans game? They scored 21 points in less than four minutes.
I know. And that's just the thing about – that's so fun and exciting about this deep – or this offense.
It's not even a video game.
So, I mean, statistically, if you look at this, Mahomes – his worst game statistically, he was 26 for 42 for 286 yards. He had two touchdown passes. He had two interceptions, and he had also had a rushing touchdown. Damian Williams, I feel like, had a great game. He had 17 rushes for over 104 yards, one rushing touchdown. But he also caught the ball four times for 29 yards and a touchdown. Tyreek Hill led all the receivers with 9 receptions for 105 yards. Sammy Watkins had 5 receptions for 98 yards. Travis Kelce kind of had a quiet. Travis Kelce kind of had a quiet day. He had 6 catches for 43 yards and a touchdown. And then our defense, when you look at it, they came up huge. I mean, when they really needed the most. Bashard Breeland, he had an awesome game also. He had 7 tackles along with 1 interception. Frank Clark had a sack, and Kendall Fuller ended the game with 1 interception. So overall, it was a great victory. I mean, it's still surreal that they won, and I have all the bragging rights now the rest of the year to say that the Chiefs are the Super Bowl champs.
The stat you didn't say, which I think is not talked about enough, is Chris Jones with 3 pass deflections. And like when those happened, at the times they happened. And not to mention – he had so the first sack of the game, maybe it was the interception. He hit Garoppolo.
Yeah, hit Garoppolo
got away from him. So basically, that's like an assisted sack. He is so underrated. God, I hope we can sign him.
I think we will, and I'm not worried about it. So let's now talk about the debate over the MVP for Super Bowl, because a lot of people thought Mahomes probably shouldn't have got it because his worst statistical game. He had the lowest QBR in Super Bowl history, apparently, they were saying. But I don't know how you don't give it to Mahomes, the guy who leads you back and has that 3rd-and-15 play. I mean, who else would you have gotten it to? I know you said Chris Jones earlier, and you were talking about that earlier, but Damian Williams, another person I thought that had a great game that maybe could have had it too. But, you know, he had 38 yards rushing on one play that made him over 100 yards. I could have argued it could have been a co-MVP.
Yeah.
I mean, would you have seen that co-MVP for this?
Yeah, I think that...
But then who would you give the co-MVP to? Mahomes and Chris Jones?
I think the easy thing would be was to do it to Mahomes, but I think statistically it would be Damian Williams. Because, he did have 2 crucial, touchdowns that
punched
ahead.
But like you said, so
we need like I said, we need Mahomes because he's the greatest NFL player of all time.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode, and make sure to check in next week. I'll be uploading more episodes, and don't forget, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at How About Them Chiefs. So go check it out. And again, thanks for listening. Go Chiefs.